accession number 12232, Mr. Ivor Wilkins, Reel 2.
Mr. Watkins, Reel 2. We're talking about life in Sketty and Swansea during 1914 and 15. When did you first become aware that it might actually involve you directly?
Well, there were fellows slightly older than myself who were joining up. And I know that it was inevitable later on that I'd be caught up with this patriotic burst and I would join the army.
So you realised when you were sort of 17 in 1915 that you would go?
Well, it was natural. Everybody wanted to go. Everybody wanted to go, but the time didn't seem right. You were told, oh, get out of it. You were too young. You think about it a bit later on. Grow up and that sort of thing.
Did you ever try and enlist underage? Some people
did. Well, I'm not going to say whether I tried or not, but you know, you got down to the door and someone looked at you, get out of it, you know, sort of thing, you see. So I remember going down to Nelson Street. Nelson Street was the recruiting office in Swansea. But they looked at you, go on, get out.
So you would have...
A little squit then, sort of thing.
So you did try when you were...
Oh, yes. I'm not saying that, but it'd be wrong for me to say I didn't. Because... And it would come back to me and say, well, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't tell lies. So you I eventually joined the army.
Did it affect, before you joined the army, did it affect your work, the sort of work you were doing? You had these contracts on civilian things, didn't you?
Your mind couldn't because there were the foreman's eyes were on you all the time. You had to keep your nose to the grindstone.
But outside work...
It obviously did affect you.
No, what I meant was, did you start doing sort of, did the firm, Marles, start
taking on war work? The firm had no connection with war work whatsoever.
It was not sort of erecting huts
for the army or anything? There was only one job we did have, and that was down in the Coast Guard station down in the Mumbles. We had one small job there. I think there's putting up a platform or a steps, I think, if I remember rightly. That was the only job that was connected with the... I don't say it was connected with the war, but connected with the Coast Guard station, that's all.
Now, when did you actually join up and how did it come about? Do you remember the date?
I don't remember the date. I remember the month. It was early November 1916.
So then,
the Swansea Battalion had a hell of a smashing at Mametz.
That's what I was going to ask about. You'd heard, because the 38th Division generally got smashed up.
Yes, they got smashed. The Swansea Battalion got smashed up at Mametz.
And had you heard of it? Did you realise?
Yes, we heard of it. Quite a lot of the fellows came home wounded, very badly wounded. And that had an effect on everybody. The story came out that the Swansea Battalion had been wiped out, which was wrong. It was an exaggeration, but they, along with the others, had a pretty bad mauling. And that had an effect, you know, the push. Come on, let's get in, that sort of thing.
It didn't put you off then?
No, I joined in and sometime in November 1916.
How did you go about joining?
Well, I went down to Nelson Terrace in Swansea. And
what happened? What was the actual procedure, if you remember?
Well, I want to join the army. How old are you? What you doing? Are you doing war work? No. All right. Well, they had the medical test. And
what was that like?
Cough and test your chest and all that sort of thing, you know, with movement of your arms and things like that, and your eyes and that sort of thing.
So it sounds a reasonable medical.
Oh, yes, a reasonable medical test. Then they said, well, you go home now and you'll get your calling up papers perhaps in a couple of weeks, which did happen.
Did you give your right age? I mean, you'd be
Yes.
Who were you trying to join?
I was 18. I was 18 on the 29th of June, 1916. See? Then in November I joined.
And you were joining the army, but did you ask, you wanted to join the your own regiment, did you?
No. I wanted to join the Welsh regiment, but they said, no, you were going to Kinmel Park. I went with a group of other chaps. We were marched to High Street Station.
So you did ask to join the Welsh regiment?
Yes, I did.
Ask to join any other part
No, the Welsh regiment, because it was the Swazi battalion was the 14th, the Carmarthen was the 15th, the 13th was the Rhondas, the 10th was the Rhondas, the 16th was the Cardiff City.
So it was the Swansea battalion you really wanted?
The 14th, yes.
And when you got home, you know, you joined up, what did your parents say? Had you told them you were going?
You've done it then. Yes, I've done it. Oh, well, if that's it, that's it.
Were they upset?
No, not in a way. Obviously, mother was, I suppose she shed a few tears, but it was inevitable. Others were doing the same and that sort of thing. My cousin had joined. Other boys had joined. So, that was it.
What about at work? What did they say?
Well, I'll tell you now, the thing that struck me and I remember most then when I joined the army, I was having 8 shillings per week when I joined the army.
Why was that?
That was the wage, you see.
Sorry,
8 shillings a week I was having then when I joined the army. Wages.
Yes, got you, yes.
Yes.
But what did they offer to pay you any while you were in the army? Did that?
No. I dropped from 8 shillings to 7 shillings a week when I joined the army.
Did they offer to hold your job for you? While your apprenticeship?
No. I broke my apprenticeship, you see. I broke my apprenticeship.
And you had no guarantee of getting back on?
No. Not with that firm, no. No.
Were they pleased you'd joined up?
Didn't say anything, because lots of youngsters were joining the army. They think, well, it was inevitable, you see. Inevitable.
What about your friends?
Well, some of them had joined. Though they were older than I was, they had joined. My cousin had joined. He joined the Royal Engineers. But I wanted to join the Welsh Regiment.
So after this 2 weeks, yes, you went to Kinmel Park?
Kinmel Park.
How did you get there, and what did you
take? Oh, there were a batch of us. Batch of us marched up to High Street Station, and we landed up in Kinmel Park. Now, in Kinmel Park, at that time, there had been started the training reserve battalions. See, it was a new scheme come in. Rather than send the new recruits bang into a regiment, they had what they call training reserve battalions. And I was drafted into the 59th Training Reserve Battalion of the South Wales Borderers.
How did you feel about that?
Well, I was in the Welsh Regiment. Very proud, because the South Wales Borderers, they call them the 24th Foot. Look what they'd done in the South African War. They had more BCs than anyone else. See, that was put into us, you see. Be proud, the 2 and 4, the South Wales Borderers. So I did my training there along with other boys.
So you that's who you joined when you got to Kinmore. You joined them straight away, the 59th?
Yes, we were drafted into 59th Training Reserve Battalion of the South Wales Borderers, and that's what I did my training.
How were you issued? What uniform and equipment were you issued on arrival?
Well, we were issued with our khaki straight away, you see. And gradually, we learn the rudiments of drill.
Hang on, what other kit did you get at the start?
Well, just our uniform to start: boots, socks, two shirts, cap, and that sort of thing.
Did it fit?
We didn't have our equipment then straight away.
Did it fit your uniform?
Oh yes, it fitted all right.
So they did try and match
it. One thing I remember, that I was issued with a pair of brown boots. I said, they're brown. Black them. And of course, there was no cherry blossom boot polish then. You had to black them with blacking. Berries blacking. Spit on it and rub it in and get. Eventually, I got the shine on it. Yeah. Putties. I had to learn how to put putties on.
Did you find that difficult?
It was difficult because the damn thing was slipping down until you got the knack of it, the binding, you see, around and tucking in. Then the trousers had to be tucked over so low, you see. There were the regulations. The non-commissioned officers were very, very strict with that. The foundation was to get you dressed properly before you were given equipment and a gun and that sort of thing, to get you dressed properly, to realise that you're not in Civvy Street now sort of thing. There is, shall we say, a dress, and there is a smartness to be observed, and that sort of thing.
Did you find it difficult, that sort of...
No, I didn't, because we always had to be tidy at home. We had to put our clothes away when we come home from church of a Sunday morning. Our best clothes came off, put aside, and we dressed again to go to church. See? Our shoes had to be cleaned properly. And the Saturday morning job at home then for the children was to clean the knives and forks. So, you know, we had to keep ourselves tidy, you see.
So
there's no difficulty for me to be dressed tidily and... In fact, I rather, admired the way I had the... You know, where the putties came round to see that, you know, everyone was the same sort of thing. Tidiness and orderliness. Well, in the joiner shop, you had to be tidy and that with your tools, you see. So there's no difficult for me. It may have been difficult for other boys.
What was the accommodation like at that
camp? Oh, we were in huts. We were in huts.
How many to a hut, roughly?
Oh, to be maybe about 30 odd to a hut.
What was in the hut?
Well, just a bare wooden floor, table in the middle with a stove, and then we had our beds then.
What type of bed?
Three boards on two little trestles sort of thing, you see. And then there was the orderly man for the day. He had to go down then to fetch what they called the bucket of gunfire, the bucket of tea to come up, you see. We'd have that before we started.
What other duties would the orderly man have?
Well, he'd have to keep the place tidy during the day, fetch the tea, gunfire, sweep up and that sort of thing.
Generally keep the place tidy?
Yes, and he'd be orderly man, shall we say, for so many days, that sort of thing. See?
And you all took that in turn?
Oh yes, in turn, yes.
You mentioned the stove. Was there enough? I mean, it was winter, presumably,
yeah.
November, December.
Yeah.
Was there enough fuel for it all?
Oh, yes. Well, the khaki we wore was warm. The shirts we wore were sort of flannelette, you see, and that sort of thing. So we were young. And,
so you didn't suffer from the cold?
Oh, no. We were kept moving then, pretty near all the time. I got a photograph somewhere, I can't put my hand in it now, of us all showing ourselves outside the hut, you know, very, very smart. Yeah.
What type of men were you in with?
Well, pretty near all our own age, boys from Cardiff, Pembroke, Neath, all around that sort of thing.
Were they all the same type of lad as yourself, or was there a rougher type? Or
well, they were the rougher type. A few wicked boys we usually have, as always in the army, you always find one who we called the scrounger. If you wanted anything, he'd get it. How he got it, where he got it from, didn't matter, but if you mentioned anything, he'd get it.
Was there a range of backgrounds then? You know, some middle class, you know.
Oh yes. They came from all stations in life, you see.
Did you gel together well?
On the whole, yes. Because there was a common denominator. You were in the army now, sort of thing. You had to bow to the inevitable, the order of the sergeant or the corporal who was in charge. You all had to drink out of the same sort of mugs. You all had to sit down at the same sort of table. You all had to sleep in the same sort of bed. See? So there was a leveller.
Did the groups then of different backgrounds intermix then?
It took a bit of time, because we realised, well, he's got something that I haven't got, and I got something that he hasn't got, so there was a sort of give and take. There was an inevitability about it that we've got to get on, and you know, you couldn't pull the wool over his eyes, you see. He's a bit smarter than me. Well, you know, there was a levelling then.
What about people? I mean, you come from a church background. What about things like bad language? I mean, did you come across it at that stage, or were you shocked?
There was the occasional. No. I learned it. One of the greatest levellers is the building industry. The building industry. You meet every type of person there. It's a great level. It pulls you down to size then.
So things like bad language weren't new to you anyway?
No, dear, no, no. On the building, you'd hear that. But you just sort of walked past it, see? And that was it, you see?
What about drinking and things like that?
Well, there was not so much drinking there I can remember. There was the one or two who may have made a fool of themselves, but on the whole, I didn't see it.
Was there any bullying within the group?
No, there was no bullying. There was one little boy from the Rhondda Valley, Patty Thomas, who could use his hands pretty quick, but he was quite okay. He didn't know who I was. I didn't know who he was. He didn't know what I could do, and I didn't know what he could do, but it was a great levelling process, you know. So, and there was a corporal sleeping in the hut at all time, you see.
An older soldier?
Yes, a corporal.
How did he treat you all?
Well, he treated us, well, I won't say as a kind of fatherly fashion, but, you know, he kept that levelling sort of thing, you see. He wouldn't let things boil over, and that sort of thing, you see. You know, pipe down, you. Hold your horses, you. You see, that sort of thing, and that was it.
Did you like him?
He was a very, very nice chap, very level-headed fellow.
And was he older than you lot?
Oh, yes, he was. He was from the South Wales Borderers.
Was he a regular?
No, I don't think he was a regular, but he'd been in the... whether he'd been out abroad, I don't know, and come back, you see, and he was allocated to this training battalion. But there were one or two, like the level of sergeant, sergeant major, regimental sergeant major, they were regulars, you see. They were regulars.
And what were they like, those NCOs? How did they treat you?
Well, they were regular soldiers, and they treated us, well, I don't know what they called it, but they were very, very strict, very strict. They had eyes everywhere, do the button up, wash your bloody neck, when you come on parade next time, that sort of thing, you see. And, well, we accepted it. We had to.
One thing I forgot, you were in the 59th Training Battalion. Were you in a company within that?
Yes, 9 Platoon C Company. And a funny thing, that followed me right throughout the whole war. Number 9 Platoon C Company. With the 15th Battalion, with the 2nd Battalion, and with the 6th Battalion. What a queer thing. Number 9 Platoon C Company.
What about the officers? Would you see much of the officers, of you know, your company officer?
There was the adjutant. Saw the adjutant, and there was a brigadier allowed to the whole camp. Brigadier Blackadder. But the regimental sergeant major was the, you know, the crowning piece on parade. He was there.
So the office, it wasn't an officered battalion, it was NCO, just for training?
Mostly, yes, mostly, but they had the nucleus of the adjutant, shall we say, and that sort of thing. But it was the NCOs, really, who trained us.
What about your food? What was the food like?
Well,
you got your tea in the morning.
Got drum fire in the morning, and I have a suspicion that in that tea there was something that made your bowels operate now and again. I honestly believe that, which was a good thing, of course, you see. But gunfire, they used to call it, so you can get your own thoughts on that sort of thing. Gunfire. It come in a bucket, of course, gunfire.
And you'd just use your mug?
Got your mug out then.
So it would. Was it ready sweetened and milked and everything?
Oh, yes, 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 yes. The drinkable at that time, but you always had the suspicion that gunfire was gunfire at that time.
Yeah. So what would happen? So we might as well look at a typical day and follow it through with the training. So what time would that would arrive first thing in the morning?
Oh, yes, about 7 o'clock, see.
Would you be up?
We'd have to be up. The corporal would be there, see. Show a leg, you know, show a leg. And if he didn't get up, then the blanket was pulled off, you see. Or the a board was tipped up and out he'd go, you see. So...
Where would you have somewhere in the hut to wash, or was that attached?
Well, there was an ablution shed, you see. We'd have to go out to wash in an ablution shed, see. It's a long shed with rows of sort of basins and that sort of thing.
The toilets were there as well, were they?
Yes, the toilets were there as well, in the ablution shed. And you had to see that your neck was well washed, because you'd have PT in the morning with the neck of your shirt open, you see.
Hang on, so you'd get the gunfire first before the...
Oh, yes, yes, gunfire
and then
first.
PT before your breakfast?
Yes.
Well, so what was a PT? What sort
well,
of...
Well, you know, arms stretched, bet touch your toes and run around a little bit, see.
Did it have an effect on you? Did it build you up a bit?
It loosened you up, you see. It loosened you up and freshened you up. PT in the morning.
Was it a tough session, or was it just really...
Well, sometimes it was tough. If there were fellas trying to pull the wall and wouldn't move properly, well, we all had to suffer then. Knees up, knees up, knees up, knees up. Come on, you. Knees up, knees up. See? Someone would say, oh, buddy, come on, knees up.
How long would that session last? About?
Oh, it'd last about half an hour, you see. Last about half an hour.
And then what would happen?
Back then, put your khaki on then.
So what would you be wearing, sorry, for the PT? Oh,
only trousers.
Normal khaki trousers?
Yeah, normal khaki trousers. Your boots on, of course, no putties on, and the shirt open, you see.
So you get the rest of your kit on?
Yes, get back then and put your khaki trousers. Well, we didn't have equipment for about a month or 6 weeks, you see, and we didn't have a rifle till a bit longer. But as the drill then, you see.
So you went back, finished getting dressed, and then was that when you had breakfast?
Yes, we'd have breakfast then.
And where would that be?
In the hut. In the hut.
It was brought to you again?
Yes, in the hut, yes.
And what would breakfast be?
Oh, well, maybe bacon or something like that. I forget really now, but...
Was it good?
Well, it was wholesome food then. Wholesome food.
So
well, Well, if you didn't eat it, you'd have to go hungry, you see.
Well, as you mentioned, you'd had good home cooking. And
yes, yes.
Was the army food a bit of a come down after that?
Well, it wasn't presented, or the bread wasn't cut so thin as mother used to cut it, and that sort of thing, you see. But that was food.
You had no trouble eating it, though?
Oh, dear, no. Hungry.
Was there enough?
Pardon?
Did you get enough?
Yes, enough to keep going. Yes, 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 yes.
So after breakfast, yes, then you'd be on to training. Now, the
you'd be out then, drill. Drill was the first thing we had before we had equipment and before we had a rifle. Drill was the thing.
And what do you think? Did you understand why the drill was important?
Well, I understand it now. After, living a long time, why was drill important? It was to get you to answer, shall we say, orders, to obey orders, and to be orderly then, if I may put it that way, you see. If you weren't orderly, well, what was going to happen? It'd be higgledy-piggledy. I'm looking back now over it. Why was this? But obey orders, be orderly, see. That kept you in rhythm rather than obey orders, you see, and eventually that came down to the actual battlefield, the ability to obey orders, do as you were told.
Did you understand that at the time, though?
Pardon?
Did you understand that at the time? You said with age you come to realise that.
Well, yes, but we automatically obeyed, you see. We automatically obeyed. If you had a sergeant belting out to you like Sergeant John, the little clip moustache and the stick underneath, you know. What are you doing there? Quiet. No, that sort of thing. Well, looking back in retrospect now, I understand why being orderly and obeying orders and accepting orders was so important at that
time. But at
night.
The time you didn't think much about
well,
it.
Well, no, we had to obey orders, you see.
So what was the drill like then? What type of things
were you doing?
Well,
it was keeping in line, marching, keeping in line, keeping the same distance one from the other, that sort of thing. And when we were told to right turn or form fours and that sort of thing, we did it. See? That sort of thing. Till they got us working orderly like a machine, see.
Enjoy it?
Well, it seemed, the right thing to do then, you know. We were dressed in khaki, we were there, it seemed the right thing to do, to obey an order.
Were you able to, marching in time and things like that aren't always easy things to do. Did you have any trouble yourself?
No.
How about some of the other men?
I had to be orderly. I had to be orderly when I was an apprentice.
But the actual thing of marching on time and things, yeah. Were you able to do all that?
Oh, yes, yes, quite easily. No trouble at all. There were some that kicked the other fellow in the heel and that sort of thing. But I found no trouble with that. I had to be orderly from a child at home, the little jobs we were given to do. Then the apprenticeship, I had to be orderly there with my tools and my work. See? Straight lines and that sort of thing. I found no trouble.
Did the drill get more and more complicated?
Oh, yes. Yes, it got more and more complicated. As it expressed on that book, you know, halt on the right form, platoon, close column of platoon, and the regimental sergeant major would have us out then eventually. The battalion would form up, you see? And then he'd have from the company sergeant major how many men were in his company. He'd have company sergeant major would have from the sergeant how many men in the platoon. Then they'd count. Then they'd give that to the regimental sergeant major. Then he would then distance the platoons one from the other, you see. We were all in line. He'd tell then we'd march. And he'd tell this fellow now so many paces. And then touch the other fellow from in front, you see. Then he'd take till eventually you'd get the lines all in line and each platoon separated one from the other, you see. It's all in that book that I had in the NCO's drill, you see. And then eventually we'd have the whole battalion lined up ready for inspection.